Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. One literary tool that makes much of literature and Holy Scripture interesting is irony. In fact, today's text is a good example. The high priest, Caiaphas, speaks very ironic words to the Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jews. It was a group of 71 people, a group of Pharisees and Sadducees, chief priests and teachers of the law. And they were all wondering what to do with Jesus. Unlike many of the Jews who had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead and put their faith in him, this group resisted Jesus and failed to believe his words. And the motive to kill Jesus was becoming stronger. And the tension came to a head after some reported to the Pharisees that Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead. Now more and more people could not dispute the works that Jesus was doing, and many believed in him. What went on behind the scenes or behind the closed doors of that meeting of the Sanhedrin was a cruel plot. That's when Caiaphas said, "You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." Caiaphas had every intention to selfishly devise a wicked plan for his own political advantage. It was better in the eyes of the Sanhedrin that Jesus die rather than prosper, possibly dividing the people and causing an insurrection against Rome. Jesus, you might say, was kind of like a tomato, only not like this fresh one. Instead, Jesus was like a rotten tomato to Caiaphas, not good for anything, not even eating. But Caiaphas was not aware of the full import of his ironic words. In fact, his sinister, evil plot against Jesus ironically turns out to be a glorious, beautiful prophecy. You see, although a tomato may be rotten, it still has great value. That's because there are seeds within it. Caiaphas thought he was simply throwing out a rotten tomato, Jesus. But that was only the beginning of something new. If a tomato is thrown out, it splats. And its seeds spread out and sprout, making new plants and new life. By his death on the cross, Jesus would actually bring such life to the entire world. God ironically takes the worst intentions and words of evil men and uses them for his good purposes. It is better or advantageous that one person, Jesus, die for the people, all the people of the world, so that no one must go to hell. Yes, Jesus would die for the people, and thanks be to God that because of that act of salvation on Calvary's cross, we will not perish eternally. The problem at the center was this. The leaders were envious and fearful of Jesus' growing success. They didn't believe him, and they felt that their so-called power they had over the people was slipping away. The people were now believing and following Jesus. Now the hostility between these leaders and Jesus had grown so large over time that these unbelieving leaders now pressed for Jesus' death. What we all see here is insecurity in action. The leaders were acting out of fear, trying to take matters into their own hands, which were not in their control or power anyway. Because they failed to believe in Jesus and his word, they only had themselves to trust and had to oppose him vehemently. Insecurity divides people. Insecurity is an awful, imprisoning thing. Insecurity means lack of faith. It stems from an envious and covetous heart. Think about it. How often do we act out of anxious insecurity? Especially if we feel we're losing control of a situation. In less than 3 weeks, some of you men will be assigned vicarages. Others of you will receive calls. While this text could apply well to some of the power and authority struggles you will face as you work within congregations, some people will grow tired of you. Some will not look to you to guide them. Some will not listen to your words. How will you handle that? The temptation might be to immediately react and assert to your call or to assert to your authority. There is always a temptation for the minister to react and lash out in the midst of troubling circumstances. You're losing control, or so it seems. However, as we learn here, it is not up to you to control your people or to assert some plan. Could they try to destroy you and your ministry? Yes. Yes. If through that a greater good takes place, remember what the apostles and prophets had to suffer. Isn't that the theology of the cross? Many sufferings and crosses will test you in ministry. There will be secret meetings held behind your back, behind the scenes. Some people will resent, hate, and reject you when you reprove their sin. Some staff that you work with, or perhaps your bishop, may also not be so excited and willing to work with you. But above this scene is a different plan. And above the scene of your ministry and work, God also presides. The one who created you and who knows the very number of the hairs on your head also knows what you need each day and will not let you falter. We know by faith that God is ultimately in control, always working good for those who love him. His plans are always for the good of his church and for the good of his servants. But sometimes death takes place, just as it did for our Lord. A pastor is rejected or scorned. We may suffer before a greater good takes place for the people of God. even this is in the Father's hands. You will always have those who will oppose you, especially if you are doing faithful work. But when you are tempted to lash out, instead, take the time to wait prayerfully and commend it first to the care of our Father. The Lord of all heaven and earth knew what went on behind the scenes of his death, before his death. Yet he did not react to the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas. He simply withdrew himself for a while. Jesus did not assert himself, even though he had every right to. Instead, he commended himself to the Father's care, knowing that his will would be done for our best. By losing, Jesus ends up winning. He loses the battle, but wins the war. That's like this tomato again. If I were to throw it out, it would splat and be no more. But its seeds would sprout and rise with life, and new tomato plants would grow and live. Similarly, our life in Christ began because Christ was thrown out, because he died and was buried, just as a seed is buried before it sprouts to new life. Jesus speaks about this a chapter later. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Baptized into his death and resurrection, we are given the seeds of eternal life. And just as Christ was thrown out, so will we at times. But through our suffering, life comes to others. And that is why Paul says precisely this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 regarding the ministry. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. For the sake of the gospel, we too will suffer losses for the life of the people of God. That is the theology of the cross. Remember how you were given life through Christ's death and resurrection. When the word and sacraments were brought to you through the hard work and sacrifice of other faithful shepherds, their labor, their encouragement was certainly advantageous and better for us. Is it not? Similarly, we do not know in our work how things will turn out for good in the long run, but by faith we trust it to be so. What an ironic plan. One man dies that many may live. Through death, God brings life. That's what Lent and Holy Week are all about. And that's what Christ and our life in him is all about. There will always be those who want to throw you away like a rotten tomato. But remember that in spite of that, God always stands mightily to graciously guide all things, to spread the seeds of life both to them and others. Thanks be to God who calls us to such service in His name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.